Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this week's episode of the City Confessions. We are wrapping up season 9 with Donna Kim. She is a New York-based creative and social consultant and also a writer. She has written for publications such as Apartment Therapy, Harper's Bazaar, Bon Appetit, and many more, but I will let her tell her story. So hi, Donna. Welcome, and thank you so much for being on.
Hi, Marianne. Thank you so much for having me.
So why don't we begin by having you introduce yourself in your own words and tell us about your background and relationship with New York City.
Yes. Okay. Well, you did a great intro. So let me see. I don't love talking about myself, so I'll do my best. I'm originally from San Francisco. I've lived in New York for going on 18 years, which is absolutely crazy. And I moved here when I was 18. So now you know how old I am. But I moved here with the intention of making my way working in media. And so I went to school at NYU to study media and communications. And then I still didn't really know what I wanted to do. So I went to grad school at Columbia and I got my master's in journalism. And I think from that school and kind of the training I got there, I was able to see that I would love to work in magazines and digital marketing and media and sort of launch my career there. So the bulk of my career has been in magazines and helping them out with like their social and digital marketing initiatives, which was like very new at that time. I've just been, you know, I've had everything from full-time jobs at magazine companies like Condé Nast, and I've freelanced, as you've mentioned, for different publications. You and I met through blogging, I believe. And I was working in blogging for a little bit. I had a blog. I feel like, you know, you can do a lot in those 18 years and we'd be here forever if I told you everything that I've done. So I think I would say that, yes, my bulk of my experience has been in the publishing and media and social media world on the business and publication side.
This is a great start. And as a writer myself, I would love to know, when were you drawn to writing or publishing or a magazine? Like, was there a moment you can recall from your childhood or from school where you were like, you know what? That's where I see myself. That's what I'm going to be doing.
Yeah. So I love that question. I didn't have a lot of friends growing up. So I really did find solace in reading and, you know, the magazines that I did have access to at the dentist office. Like, my parents didn't get me magazines, but my first glimpse into the magazines was at the dentist office, and it was like the big chunky L magazine, and I would go in at a very young age. I don't know how old I was, but probably whenever you start getting cavities, whenever that was. But you know, I had a lot of them back then, so I remember just looking through the magazine and everything said New York. It always said New York, New York. And going from San Francisco to moving to New York, that's just where I was like, I have to go there, right? So I loved reading. I just loved, you know, looking at magazines at that time, even if I didn't relate to the content. I just loved getting to be able to touch the pages and look at how like fabulous it looked. And so that would be the beginning. But I've always loved reading, and I don't think it materialized as a career until I went to school and kind of started to see what my options were. And obviously, living in a very expensive city like New York, you got to pay the bills, you got to figure out how to work, right? So I think that TV and movies, they sort of give this like hyper sensationalized exaggeration of like how you can make it, but you can't. Like, it's a lot of hustle and a lot of work. And I say that because when I watched TV and looked at magazines, I always thought, okay, like, I want to be an editor at a magazine. This is like where I have to go. But yeah, no, there's no one pathway, and somehow mine went this way. But yeah, that's kind of like where it all started, I think.
So I
the
would
dentist.
love to, yeah, dive into like the magazine world because it's like what you said, like the Devil's Wear Prada and like
Yep.
other shows and movies definitely glamorizes the industry. And I've had my shared experiences in that world, and that's like not the case like
Right.
95% of the time. So what was that like? Because people only think, I feel like it's also like the title of saying like, oh,
Right.
I work for X magazine. And it's like, oh my God, that's so cool. But if only they really knew like what that environment was like, did you thrive off of that?
Wow. I mean, I think that I was just so grateful to be able to have an experience working for those places. My first, a lot of New Yorkers or a lot of people that go to school in New York end up interning at a really young age. And so I interned at Shape magazine. That was my first foray into the magazine world. And I'll quickly tell you that story. So I worked part-time at a hair salon as a receptionist, and I was ringing up this very glamorous customer client, and she was just decked out. Like, she just looked like a fashion editor. Like, I just could tell, like, the way she did her hair, the way she wore, everything. Sorry, this is a lagging in the thing. Oh. And I remember asking her, oh, do you work in fashion? Like, I love your outfit. You look so beautiful. And she said, I do. Like, I'm the fashion director at Shape Magazine. And I said, oh my God. And I think I just was so doe-eyed. Like, I never met somebody that worked in a magazine before. And she gave me her card, and I didn't hear from her for like 6 months. But then, that was sort of my first entry point after I got the interview to be a fashion intern at a magazine. And so I actually got a lot of my exposure through that. And I didn't even think that it was possible to be a writer because, again, these are the kinds of opportunities I just didn't have that access, growing up. So I had to make that myself moving here. And that's why I said, like, there was just no one pathway to get to where you are. So I think just like a lot of patience and a lot of pitching myself and believing in myself is kind of like where it landed me here.
And that's the beauty of New York. I feel like you can have one interaction that will change
Yep.
the trajectory of your life. And it's not, it may just be accidental and coincidental and not even intentional, right? Like
Right.
you did not have to be at that moment and she did not have to come in. And it
Yeah.
just so happens that you are also like, let me say something to her. And it's like that
Right.
synergy, and it's
Yeah.
amazing and incredible. So looking back at your journey thus far, what has been the biggest challenge? This can be professionally or personally, and of course, whatever you feel like sharing.
Sure. My gosh, I have a lot. I've gone through a lot in my life that has shaped me to who I am. So it's hard for me to like pick maybe one. But are you talking more about like my career or just like in
Let's
general?
do career and then we
Okay.
can dive into personal,
Sure.
later. Yeah.
Career. I mean, I worked in the publishing industry, and the sad truth is, and it's in the news, it just folds. I've experienced layoffs. I've had to see the corporate changes that magazines had to make. So obviously everything is required with innovation and technology and digital. And, I decided to lean into that because I understood that that's where our future was going. But I think it was very hard for me to have to adjust, even though I had no other option. And I think like those kinds of experiences made me the person that I am, which is why I've been freelancing for the past 9 years or so. But, I've personally have had so many experiences where I get comfortable at a job, and then a layoff would happen, or a corporate restructuring, or a new person comes in. And so it's just very chaotic, right? And I don't think a lot of people talk about what that does to somebody's mental health and what you're supposed to do in those situations. You're kind of like left again on your own. So I think those are that would probably be like the one experience. Those experiences have like really, not only hurt me, but it also helped me later. But those things were very, very challenging.
So, what do you do in those moments? Because I personally have a few friends right now, as we're speaking, who have recently been laid off. And I don't really know what that's like, only because, I'm a mom right now. So, mostly I'm staying home, I'm working and freelancing as much as I can. But in those situations, like, what do you do? Obviously, I'm sure you honor the feelings.
Yeah.
And you're like in that moment, But how do you pick yourself back up? Because I also feel like tying in with the winter blues, it's really hard. And then we're gearing up for the new year, and it's like new year resolution. You want to have like new year, new me. But when you're struggling personally or professionally, how do you get out of that?
Oh my gosh. I can only speak for myself. And I haven't, worked in a corporate setting in a very long time, but I have a lot of friends in similar situations too. And I think that I hate to say it, but you sort of have to anticipate that always when you're at a job. Like you kind of have to know that a job, it's there for the purpose, but you should feel this is my own advice, but I feel like don't get too surprised when that happens. And that maybe that comes from my own experience. And so when you're less, sometimes you get blindsided, but I think that it's important for people to know that that's a possibility and a very real one, and it's out of your control. And it doesn't matter how hard you work and how brilliant you are and how many hours you put in. I think that that's just a harsh reality for any industry, any company. And with that being said, the aftermath, God forbid that happens to you, whether it's in the holidays or it's during a really pivotal time, just know and remember that everything will work out. Like it will always work out. You're a smart and capable person, and you have to keep those mantras in mind. And you have to network, and you have to keep continue that networking even when you're at a job, because you just never know. That's how I've been able to thrive, is like when those things happen, I just know there's like a handful of people I can reach out to and tell them like this is what happened. Being open to like other jobs. Again, I can only speak for my field and like what I do. But no job is too small for me. It really never has been. Like I've never, like even if certain things were beneath me, perhaps like I didn't care because I still had to do what I had to do. And no one has my back more than me, right? So, and you can understand that. And so, like I think, A, just being able to know that that's always going to be a possibility, and B, just keep your network tight and foster those things, because you will figure it out, and it always ends up working out. And remind yourself of that. It's out of
I yes. No, I agree with you 100%. I feel like it definitely comes from the mindset first. It's like instead of looking at it as a failure or step back, it's more of like whatever happens, it's the expiration date has come and it's time to kind of like find something else. And it's like the universe way of telling you, okay, well, this door has closed, but you don't see it yet and you don't know it yet. But this other door is like right there. And it's not time for you to open it, but in time you will be. So I love that. And of course, it's easier said than done. I'm not over here saying like, okay, whatever, just like brush it off, because clearly we've all, have struggled. But always looking back, I always be like, okay, I am where I am because of these hardships and challenges. So
Absolutely.
I know you've opened up a little bit about your health journey, and I would love to see if you want to share a little bit about that. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm very grateful that the Cover Tour, gave me a platform to talk about it. I've spoken about it, like, when I was on my Instagram many years ago. But I think that I've just experienced burnout in many ways. I'm very hard on myself, and I did not take care of my physical health to the level that I thought I should. I thought working out, going to the gym, and eating some salads was going to be enough for me to feel like I was a healthy individual. But the truth is I just never put my health first. And sometimes, they always say that saying, like, your body is going to like let you know, like at a very unopportune time, that you're not doing well. So what happened was, as a woman, I just was not, like, I was bloated all the time. My menstrual cycle was not regular, and it was very painful. And I was gaining weight out of nowhere, and I wasn't, doing anything. In my opinion, I wasn't like eating more or like something. I just didn't understand what was going on. My hair was falling out, and I was so stressed all the time. And going to doctors after doctors, they couldn't really find anything. So I sort of had to leave it up to myself to figure out. And the only thing I could think of was, I got to do the holistic way, because I know that that's like a thing, and let me just try it. Like, what do I have to lose, by going to some holistic doctors and people that specialize in this? And it was all unanimous. They all said, you're just so freaking stressed. Like, we need to figure out a way to kind of like detox all of the stressful factors in your life. And what is stress, right? Like, I feel like I'm very good friends with stress. Like, I understand how to manage it. I know, right? Like that's like, so I didn't really know, like I guess I was always operating at this level, so I had no clue like how to like calm down. So I just had to restart. I had to detox. That was everything from what I was eating, from what I was consuming, what I was, who I was spending time with, what I was doing on a daily basis, and taking baby steps into that. And it just like I felt so much better. And I would say like all I just kind of came back to me, and it really just helped me get back into the groove. And I think that it was truly a testament. I think like, you know, earlier conversation, like I just worked really hard. And I never really shared my struggles. I never really talked about like sort of the stuff that was I was going through with anybody. And I think like that's why social media is so dangerous, right? Because we don't talk about those kinds of things. But I was so sick of it, right? Like I was so sick of feeling like powerless against myself. Like I was just like, what's going on? Like depressed and anxious and yada, yada, yada. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. And you know, it's still something that I always put in the forefront now as my main priority is my health, not just physical, but mental as well. So here we are.
Well, thank you for sharing. And I can relate too, because I Stress and I, we're like best friends as well. Like, I'm with her all the time. So it's funny that you say that it's like what you're familiar with, because you're operating in your own body. I'm operating in my own body. And like, your view is through your thoughts, right? You're like, the what you think is how you see the world. And it's just funny because when you're always stressed and you're running on fumes, it's almost like that's the norm. So you don't question, like, am I burnt out? Like, or is this is just me, right? But it's truly amazing what the body can do without verbally telling you, right? It's giving you signs to give you a chance to step back. And I do agree, like with social media, it has its pros and cons, of course, and that's a whole nother story about like mental health. But with that being said, you prioritizing your health, how are you, I guess, balancing that? And do you have certain self-care routines, or do you have like a morning routine that you can share? What are your techniques for that?
Oh gosh, I mean, it changes every year. Like there's always, you know, I love like n knowing about the different health trends and this, that, and the other. Let's start with food. I generally eat organic, gluten-free. I try to limit dairy. I'm very mindful of the kind of food I eat, but I also don't limit myself because I love food and I always like to treat myself to whatever. But I am much more mindful with food, and I definitely eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and I do not deprive myself of food. And I think back in the day, you know, that's another topic, but I was a very unhealthy relationship with food. So that's like, let's start with food. My morning routine is I just wake up. Truly, I don't mean to sound gimmicky or cheesy. I am very grateful to be alive. Like I really feel that way. Every time I wake up, I'm very excited to be awake. I'm not in the best mood per se, like physically, like I'm tired. Keep sleeping, but I'm always in this place of like it's another day. I have a dog, which has helped me so much with my mental and physical health. And so it's kind of nice. Like she, you know, wakes me up and like we have to go. We have to go get ready. So like, I chug a glass of water, I put my glasses on, we go for a nice little morning walk. And that to me is like such a treat for myself because I never used to do that, right? Like I would just like wake up, put the coffee machine on and sit on my computer and like go through my phone. And like now it's more of like I have this inadvertent mor morning routine. So that's like a nice physical thing. You know, I see a therapist. I've seen a therapist for 18 years. I advocate for mental health. I'm in a search of a new one. But I always like try to like that's like so important to me, like see a therapist or, you know, talk to somebody that is unbiased and is very invested in your overall well-being and your growth. So that's like my other thing that I advocate for. So food, mental health, physical activity. I mean, I just never push myself. I used to go to the gym and like do all these crazy classes, and like I realized like that's not necessarily like correlated to being a healthy person, right? So I just exercise as like a treat to myself, and like whether that's a walk for like 2 hours or you know, a Pilates class once or twice a week, or you know, whatever, like joining a friend in a dance class. But it's not like something that I'm like penciling into my schedule and like stressing myself out that if I don't make it, then I'm gonna like get charged $15. You know what I'm saying? Like just kind of literally go with the flow with physical activity. And yeah, I think those are the three main things. I don't really take a zillion supplements. I used to take a ton of different supplements and like powders and like whatever. I just try to keep it like simple, but
Simple,
like
yeah.
manageable for me. And yeah, I think that's like the main things.
So I have to ask,
Yeah.
are you happy right now?
Oh yes. There's definitely days when I'm not. But yeah, right now I'm very happy.
And do you think you're living your dream life?
Yes, I think that my dream life in my late 30s, I do blink my eyes and be like, wow, like I'm very proud of myself and I'm very proud of like where I've come. Now, nothing's perfect, but I think like that's something. There's other things I'm sure I don't know. Like I'm trying to be more present and like more grateful for what I have. Because I think that was why I was so stressed before, is like I always was like looking for the next thing, or like something felt like it wasn't enough. And so I was just like completely like not taking advantage of like what I have at the moment. So yes, I'm very happy and I do believe I'm living my dream life.
I love hearing that. When
Jenny.
you when you say that in the past, you weren't really present, or it was like very go, 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 looking for the next best thing. Do you think that has to do with New York City or something within you, or how you were brought up, or your personality, like, or a combination of them?
Oh, yes, combination of all of them. But very quickly, I will say that I grew up in the city. So I grew up in San Francisco, right? So that's a city in itself, very diverse. So I'm used to the city girl lifestyle, not like New York, which is just next level. But I think that, yeah, I'm fortunate to have a very good upbringing of like, a lot of diversity, a lot of people, a lot of go, go, go. But not as much as New York. So I think that my personality, being interested, my hobbies, let's talk about hobbies and interests, all were in New York. So like music was here, fashion was here, magazine was here. Diversity is very important to me. I need to be around diverse groups of people. Individuality is here. So like there were just so many things that I felt about New York. I didn't, and I guess like the pace, like you're mentioning, it didn't, maybe it like kind of amplified. Because it just like got me excited all the time. And I think therefore I was stressed because I think there's so many things happening and so many amazing people are doing so many amazing things. So you're just like, I want to do that too. So it's just like this very big, like never ending tornado of like stuff happening all the time. But, I'm still here. Like I've lived here for, going on 18 years. So I definitely, don't have any intentions of leaving. I still love it very much. But yeah, I don't think I can necessarily say that it's like most people they find it to be toxic or stressful or whatever, but I just thrive on that. I don't know. I guess I like it. I don't
Yeah. And then tying this back to the city, because my podcast is called The City Confessions.
know.
I always invite my guests after they tell their brief story to share a confession with all of us.
Yeah.
And we may have touched upon this a little earlier with the other previous questions, but if you can share a confession, what would it be? And this can be, again, anything surface level, personal, something funny, a
Yeah.
secret. But Donna, what is your city confession?
My city confession. Let's see. I don't even know. I should
I
have.
know this is no, I did not include this in the questions because I felt like you and I came like very prepared and
Prepared.
scripted.
I appreciate that. So can you give me an example like of a confession so I can kind of
That's
get a.
like the number one question people
Yeah,
always
please.
follow up with. Well, I've had a lot of people who have, very impressive titles in the work industry say that they still experience imposter syndrome, which I'm sure a lot of us can relate. I've had people share their like sex stories or anything
Yeah.
related to like New York drunk nights, or like an embarrassing moment that they've had in the city.
Yeah.
Or like a misconception you think people have of you that's like totally not true and you want to clear the air. But this is an opportunity for you to just kind of, whatever calls to you to share with all of us.
Yeah, I mean, my goodness. Well, as a New Yorker, I've never had a chopped cheese before, so I need to get that. That's a
Okay.
confession.
You know what's so funny?
Yeah.
So I grew up here and
Yeah.
like I've had my first chopped cheese maybe like 3 years ago. And
Okay, so then you can
so like
appreciate
I
that.
don't, because my go-to was like a bacon, egg, and cheese, and I
Right.
feel like that's more common
Yeah.
than a chopped cheese. I mean, it's still up there, but yeah, so I mean, people might come for me for that, but I'm with you on that. I don't think it's
Yeah, I've had a beef patty. I've like had other like iconic New York foods, but like I've never had that. So like maybe that's a confession, maybe not as fun, but that's a confession.
Is it on your list to try?
Yeah, it is. I
Okay.
really want to try one. Like I said, I have room for like treats and yummy things and
Yeah.
like, but I feel like I'm not a New Yorker unless I've had like certain New York,
Right.
a confession. I mean, I am one of those people. I don't really go above 14th Street. I guess that's kind of embarrassing. Like I just stay within my area and I don't really, I'm notorious for that. I have to confess, I just don't. If I have to like transfer trains or like if I even have to take the train, like I just probably won't go.
I know. I feel like like the duration of your train ride is very, what
Yeah.
is it called? Like telling of like what whether or not you're gonna go. Like if it's more than 30 minutes, I gotta think about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I confess, like I used to take the train a lot. I loved the subway train. It was like so much faster. I think after COVID, before COVID, all that anti-Asian hate stuff really stressed me out,
Yes.
really freaked me out, and I just didn't feel safe on the train. And then I just was like, well, I am one of those people now. I just don't go anywhere outside of my neighborhood, and if I'll just take an Uber or a car.
You're like, and I don't know if it's an age thing either, because definitely I grew up here and like I was taking the train when I was like 18, 19 at 2 a.m. Like, did not fear for my life at all. And I would be in like mini dresses and like, you know what I mean? Like, just out there partying. And then with COVID, I was definitely scared shitless. Like, I'm not even joking. It was actually serious. And then, I mean, this is about you, but I'm just giving you a little like background too. Like, then I was pregnant. And I was like, I don't, that makes you even more fearful.
Absolutely.
And then now having a child, we like barely take the train. And also I realized that a lot of stations aren't wheelchair accessible for like a stroller. So anyway, it's a whole nother story, but I am with you. I'm like an Uber girl now.
And I think that's to your point when you exactly like I think as Asian women like we felt very very scared and you being pregnant like just me like I have a lot of anxiety anyway so like I just felt like I just couldn't have that layer so it was better for peace of mind if I could just stay within my area if I have to go somewhere I'll just take a car just like easier for my there's no price to pay for my mental health and I know that's a privilege but like I just was like it's just worth it for me But also, like, I think to your when you said, like, oh, what people may have, like, no, they don't like know about you or like whatever, I don't know what it is. Like, people think that I'm like this bougie person that just takes Ubers all day, but I'm like, I grew up in San Francisco. I used to take the Muni. I used to take the Embarcadero. Like, I loved public transportation, and I don't know why people don't believe that about me, but I used to take it all the time. And I went to Columbia. I live in the West Village. So I would take the one train all the way up there. That was the only way to get to class. And all of my internships, like, and my jobs were like in Times Square. So like, how do you think I got there? You know
Right.
what I mean?
No, but
Like,
that's why I'm wondering if it's also like an age thing, because you know how sometimes like when you think about like your college years, you probably are, oh, I had no problem staying in hostels when I was traveling. Never in my life will I do that again. But it's also because I grew out of that stage. So like I'm not saying Ubers are above subways, because that's not the case all the time. Like it's definitely quicker for subways. But I think like at a point it corresponds to kind of like your life phase.
Sure,
Yeah.
absolutely. I think that's so true. And I think you're right. Like, I think that really like kind of puts a I just like to be comfortable and like if that's the price I have to pay, but like, hey, like it's the fastest way to get somewhere and it's like very efficient. And I think that's the one thing like that I confess, like I just started taking more cars than I normally did. But again, if maybe there's like less crime in the Asian sector, I don't know, maybe that'll be different. But yeah, I know. I just don't think people they underestimate the fact that I literally used to take the train like all the time.
Well, now you're letting them know.
I'm letting them
Okay.
know. Like I'm
Yeah.
like that was like really like how do you think I got
Like,
to work
yeah.
every day?
You're like, been there, done that.
I've been there, done that. Yeah.
Yes.
Unlimited. It was like an unlimited
Okay.
card. Okay, so
Yes. Okay,
gosh.
so we are wrapping this episode up, but I have a
Oh, already.
few like a fire round questions
Yay.
about New York City.
Yes.
So I'm going to ask you five questions and you can answer it with the first word or sentence that comes to your mind.
Okay.
Okay, so what is your favorite thing about the city?
Diversity.
And what's your least favorite thing?
Just trash on the street.
And if you can describe New York City in one word, what would it be?
Oh my God. Crazy.
Yeah, it is. What is your go-to spot? Like restaurant, cafe, spot?
Spot. Oh my gosh. It changes all the time. I'm one of those people. Like I have to, like if I like
That
something, I'll
makes
go
sense.
there.
Yeah. Right now.
It's always the Marlton Hotel. Like I
Okay.
just love, we should go there. I just love
Yeah.
being out there and doing work there. I can, you know, it's just like a great place. It's a spot.
And if you can thank New York City for one thing, what would it be?
For one thing,
Yes, one thing.
I thank New York City for the friends I've made.
Oh, I love that. And
Yeah.
I hope that you consider me a friend.
100%. I love native New Yorkers. My three closest girlfriends are all native New Yorkers, and
Really?
that's co coincidence. How weird is that?
I mean, you're probably an honorary New Yorker. And
I
obviously
guess
the
so.
rule is if you've been here over 9 years, you're a New Yorker. So
Okay.
you're part of the club.
I'm so grateful.
So as you are the last guest for this season,
Yes.
2024 is literally 2 weeks away, which
Crazy.
is insane.
Crazy.
Are you working on any secret projects, or what can the world be on the lookout from you, Donna, in 2024?
Wow. Well, I don't have any secrets usually, but I'm glad you asked. I'm actually still just writing a lot, and yeah, I guess I don't know. I have no secrets. Nothing interesting. Yeah, I'm just taking it day by day, day by day.
I love that because I
Yeah.
feel like oftentimes during this time, I mean, there's like two types of people, right? There are
Yeah.
like the go-getters who are like, let me sit down, have a paper, and write down all my goals, which is great because I've
Yeah.
been one of those people.
Of
And
course.
then you've had other times where people are like, you know what? This is a time to slow down for
Yeah.
me to reflect, for me to just take it day by day. And I'm not going to pressure myself to do so much, even though the new year is right around the corner. And
Yeah.
that's where I'm at right now.
I'm sitting with you on that too. I don't have like this huge list of things I need to do. I'm just trying to like
Survive.
survive and try to be, you know, happy and healthy and like focus on that.
Yes.
You know, and that's all I
Yes.
can say.
And that's how we should sign off, being
Yes.
happy and healthy.
Exactly.
So, for everybody watching and listening, thank you so much for joining Donna and I. I'm going to have all of Donna's information in the show notes. So, be sure to expand on that with her links and follow her for her writing and everything else. We will have one solo episode from yours truly next week to fully wrap it up. And yeah, thank you, Donna. And I'll
Thank
see you all
you.
next week. All right, bye.
Bye.